In the last Aliyah of Parshas Mishpatim, we have again the theme of Naaseh V'Nishma, which we discussed in Parshas Yisro, among the many interpretations of why it is so crucial that we said Naaseh before Nishma. Rav Moshe Feinstein understands that the issue is that we are committing to perform the mitzvos even when we don't understand them, and at the same time that we are going to still work to understand the mitzvos even after that. And this is reflective of the whole theme of Parshas Mishpatim, in which the name indicates those mitzvos that we understand, in contrast with chukim, which we don't really understand. But the truth is, as we see throughout this parsha, that there is essentially a spectrum of these concepts, and that every mishpat has aspects that we don't understand, and every chok we try to understand. And really, the two terms are not actually opposites, but simply reflect different points along one spectrum. Among the many principles of Mishpat that are derived from this Aliyah is what appears in Pasuk Yedalad. We have the phrase Mival Devarim Yigash Alehem, which would literally translate to whoever has a legal matter shall come to the Zakenim. But the Gemara in Maseches Bava Kamma on Daf Mem Vav tells us that this is a possible source for one of the crucial principles in all of interpersonal regulation in litigation, the idea of hamotze michavero olav haraya, that one who is demanding payment from someone else is obligated to bring proof that he is correct. This may or may not be the concept that we have of muchzak, the notion that one who is holding on to something has a presumption of ownership, and there needs to be some kind of indication otherwise in order to disrupt that presumption. But the Gemara actually indicates that perhaps this drasha is not needed at all, and that in fact the idea of hamotze mechaber olav haraya is obvious, is a svara, and responds with the claim, lama likra svarihi, why do I need a proof, why do I need a pasuk? This is something that we know from logic. So this is itself a topic of major discussion, because it seems to indicate that when you have a svara, so then there is no need for a pasuk, that this is equal to a din min ha-Torah, because otherwise we would still need the pasuk in order to establish that there is Torah authority behind this. So the idea of not needing a pasuk because a svara is present seems to indicate that there is the power of Torah authority behind the svara, and that prompts the question that many ask. For example, the Gemara Maseches Brachos tells us that there is a svara for making a bracha on food, because it is logically clear that it's not right to benefit from this world without making a bracha. So if a svara is indeed as powerful as a din min ha-Torah, that would seem to suggest, as the Pnei Yeshua asks, that there is an obligation min ha-Torah to recite brachos on food, which we normally otherwise understand to be a rabbinic law. So the Noda Bihuda, in his commentary to the Gemara, the Tzlach, explains that the idea of a svara being equal to a din min ha-Torah would not give it the power to create a new mitzvah. Otherwise, there are many mitzvahs that we wouldn't need to have spelled out in the Torah, because we would understand that they are logically compelling. Rather, the idea of a svara is that when you have a halacha that needs to be established within an existing din, and it's obvious in and of itself, then we don't need a special pasuk to point that out, and this concept is still going to be true on a level min ha-Torah. But to create a independent mitzvah with its own source of obligation and to be counted among the mitzvos, that certainly does require its own pasuk, and therefore without one, something like brachos would still be considered a obligation midrabbanan. However, in this case, there is still much to figure out, because on the one hand, it seems to be that this is considered obvious and shouldn't need a pasuk. However, we find that there are those who don't think it's even necessarily true, or certainly not obvious. Further, in the Yerushalmi and Maseches Sanhedrin, this drush is quoted without any objection that this should be obvious. So there are a number of explanations among the Mefarshim as to what the nature of this drasha is. The Pnei Moshe, in his commentary to the Yerushalmi over there, understands that because the Torah uses the word Yigash rather than Yavi, seems to imply that it's not enough to simply bring your claim, but you have to substantiate it, and that's where the rayas come in. The Pnei Yehoshua, in his commentary to Bava Kamma, emphasizes the fact that it says Dvarim and not Dovar. And that is perhaps, we also find from Rosh Hashanah Nafal Hirsch, a similar explanation, the point that if it had just said Baldover, in fact, we could have thought the opposite, that the person who is holding on to it, in other words, the Muchzak, maybe the obligation of proof is on him, but Baldvarim indicates that he is the master of words. In other words, he is somebody who is trying to accomplish something through his words, through his claim, and in order to do so, he's going to have to bring a proof. Ben Yehoyada and his commentary over here suggests that both parts of the phrase here are necessary in order for this drasha, both Baal Dvarim and also the language of Yigash. The Tara Tamima notes that there are at least two exceptions to this rule, one which is indicated by the Talmud Yerushalmi, and that is that when there is a minig that supports the position of the one who's trying to extract the money, so then he doesn't require a raya, but really what that means is the minig itself serves as a raya, and we see here that the minig is therefore more powerful than a rov, because the rule is ein holchin b'mamon achar harov, that we do not allow one to extract money based on a majority, based on a rov, and that is consistent with the idea that he still needs to bring a proof, hamotze mechavero alof haraya, and rov is not a raya, but apparently a minig is sufficient to serve as a raya, and that's what the Yerushalmi is telling us. There is an additional exception, as the Tara Tamima notes, and that is if the one who is holding on to the property is known to be a tough person and an aggressive person. Apparently we could be suspicious that maybe he has grabbed the item and he's not actually a legitimate owner. So then we do require proof on his part, and he notes that this is a different kind of exception, not indicated by the Yerushalmi, because this is not an inherent exception to the rule, but rather this is a rabbinic enactment in order to address the unique aspects of this situation. It remains unclear what exactly the conclusion is, whether this is considered to be a svara or derived from this pasuk. The Gemara does offer an alternative drasha from this pasuk, the idea that we pay first attention to the toveya rather than the nitva when we have both claimants in front of us in Beis Din, and the question is, who do we pay attention to first to have him present his claim, the plaintiff who's asking for money or the defendant who is holding on to his money? And the halacha is we listen to the claims of the plaintiff first. Thus, it's possible that if Amotzi Mechaber Olav Araya indeed does need a pasuk, that this is the halacha that's derived from this pasuk. However, Rav Schechter in his Sefer Ginas Egos quotes from Rav Mendel Zaks that thought that perhaps the text in the Gemara should be reversed. When the Gemara explains the Svara that would seem to make it unnecessary to have a pasuk for Hamotzi Mechaber Olav Haraya, the language is there, Dechaev Lechaeva Azel Veasya, that somebody who has pain should go to the doctor. So it's not clear how that explains the logic behind Hametsu Mechaver Olav Haraya. And Rav Zaks suggests that perhaps actually there is a reversal in the text here, and what it really means to say is that the halacha of Ein Nizkakin Elo Tevea Tchila, that we pay first attention to the plaintiff, that's obvious, and that's what's explained by this Svara of Dechayev Lekeeva Azel Veasya. And if so, that would be the halacha that doesn't require this pasuk to serve as its source. And the source can then go to tell us the halacha of Hamotze Mechaver Olav Haraya, which may not be as obvious as it seems. All of this may be relevant to the very last pasuk in the parsha, where we're told, Vayavo Moshe Besoch Anon, Vayalu Lahar, Vahi Moshe Bahar, Arboim Yom, Varboim Laila. And Rashi quotes the Gemara in Yuman Daf Dalet Amud Beis that the cloud was thick like smoke, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu made a path for Moshe through it. And Rav Moshe Feinstein comments about this, that this represents the fact that even the Torah Shebichsav, even the written Torah, will always take a lot of effort for us to understand, and will need help of the Kadosh Baruch Hu and the Chachamim in order to get through it. And perhaps this drasha of Hamotze Mechaver Olav Haraya and the complexities that surround it is one more example to close off the parsha of the careful balance between the inherent understanding that we feel that we have for halachos in the category of mishpatim and the recognition that there is far more complexity than may seem at first, and that we will always need HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help and that of Chachamim in order to understand.